And tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to be talking about The Darkness on Church Street, a true story of a haunting in Ohio. Guy McCourt joins us, and we'll be back with him in a moment for this incredible story right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Author, paranormal researcher Guy McCourt was very sick as a child. He died. After he was brought back, his paranormal journey, it began. He grew up in a haunted house that has been in his family for three generations, and he now tries to help other families dealing with paranormal activity. He went to college for electronics and robotics, changed his mind, and started studying psychology and parapsychology, only trying to make sense of what was going on through his experience in his life. Not finding the answers that he was looking for, he quit college to research the paranormal world. And here he is. He's on Facebook. We've got the link for you. His book is called The Darkness, One Church on Church Street, True Story of a Haunting in Ohio. Guy, welcome, and I'm glad you're back alive.
Well, thank you, George. It's good to be here.
Tell me about the experience. What happened? How were you sick as a child? And then tell me about the death experience.
Well, I was born with pituitary issues, which made me really have a lot of problems. And I went into Addisonian crisis a lot, meaning my organs would shut down.
Yes.
From high fevers and stuff.
How old were you?
The first time was five.
5 years old, jeez.
Yeah. And the one time that was really profound for me was when I was eight. I remember having an out-of-body experience, you know, seeing everything going on around me. See my parents sitting there crying, holding each other. And at that time, which was pretty weird because at that time they didn't like each other very much.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they stick together?
No.
No, they did not.
No.
Well, sometimes that's better. Sometimes that helps out the family a little bit more, even though it's tough when you're a little person, you know what?
Right, right. I mean, they kept it civil for the kids, you know, so.
Well, then what happened after that?
Well, after I awoke, or I should say slammed back into my body, and I was awake, everything seemed brighter for some reason. Like the colors was more vivid. Everything was brighter. Something changed, and I wasn't sure what that change was. And it actually took me years to realize what that change was.
What do you think it was?
That change was somehow, it allowed me to see and sense spirits or something.
Was it something that was with you forever? Is it there now?
Yes, it is.
Was it something that just changed your life forever?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was tormented as a child in my house from whatever was haunting the place.
Guy, let's talk about the house and tell me what's so unusual about this. It's been in the generation for, you know, three generations. It's been with you in the family. What's happening there?
All right. Well, it started with my grandma buying the house to rent out, and she couldn't keep it rented.
I wonder why.
And nobody talked about that kind of stuff back in the day because the social stigma of it, you know.
Sure.
And
they would hide those things.
Absolutely. And it was so weird because my grandma was a Christian. She didn't really believe in that kind of stuff. And so she finally asked the one couple that moved out of there and was like, why is people still keep moving out? And they started to tell her. And she, not really believing them, but at the same time, just, you know, just for good measure, she had a priest come in and do a cleanse. And something happened. The family would never talk about what actually happened.
You mean when the priest was there?
Yes. Yes. And they never would talk about it.
I bet it backfired, didn't it?
I think it did. The way my grandma would act about it when people would try to talk about it, I think it backfired.
Sometimes when you're trying to eradicate a spirit and it doesn't work, you really tick that thing off. And I think that's probably what happened here.
I think so, too.
And did anything happen, if you know, Guy, to the priest?
You know what? I do not ever know. They would never tell me.
Okay.
I even tried asking, you know, as throughout the years I've kept trying to talk to them about it, you know, and they would really never say.
So your grandmother knew there was something strange about this house.
Yes.
Calls in a priest. It backfires. And then what happens?
Well, eventually my dad buys the property.
Okay. From the family.
From his mom at the time.
Okay.
And he moves his family in there. He has a wife and four kids. And
your grandmother, did she pass on? Is that what happened, or did she stay in the house?
No, she was living somewhere else up on another part of town.
Okay, so she moved out.
Yeah, and so my father's living there with his wife, his first wife, and his four kids. And his wife ends up getting some sort of bone cancer at like 39 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and dies in the house.
In the house.
Yes. And then my dad met my mom and had me and my other sister, you know. And it really, really, really started torturing my mom. Whatever it was, it would not leave her alone.
And when you say torture, are we talking about emotional, physical? What was happening to her?
A little of both. Like something was keeping her up at night. She felt something hold her mouth shut one night. I'm getting cold chills talking about this.
I'm getting cold chills listening to you.
Something held her down one night because my dad would work midnights at at Ormet, which was an aluminum manufacturer. And so she would be there alone with two little young kids. And then the older kids thinking, what is going on, you know? And one night, she said it really kind of, like, it was like the epitome of what made her really start to think about divorcing my dad, because he would not have any of it. He didn't want to listen to any of it.
He wasn't sympathetic about this, was he?
No, not at all.
He was hardly there, so he didn't witness much, did he?
No. And she actually invited her aunt over, which lived a few houses down, to come over with her. Be like, you need to hang out in here for a little bit and tell me what you hear.
To be a witness to this.
Be a witness. And they're sitting there for a while, you know, and she's telling her, she's like, Bonnie, I think you're just having a rough time right now because what happened to her, and now, you know, Dad wasn't there. He was working.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to raise two young kids. She has four stepkids where two of them was already out of the house, you know, older by that time. And she's like, I just think you're under too much pressure of everything. Well, they're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Sounds like somebody running across the upstairs floor. And she's like, who is that?
Oh,
my mom's like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. There's nobody here. And she's like, you sure? And she's like, nobody's here. So then it sounds like it runs down the stairs. So they go over next door to wake up Geneva's husband. And they come back, go through the whole house.
He came over too?
Yeah, he came over too. And nothing. Nobody's home. And still not quite like, okay, that was a ghost.
So the entity just kind of got quiet.
Got quiet here and there. But lots of things was going on. And even Geneva started to experience them, I should say. Like she even seen a spirit on the steps one night and never came back after that.
This entity, Guy, was it just one or many, do you think, that might have been in the house?
I think it's many.
Many. Okay. And yes. It goes way back even before your grandmother owned the house, then, I take it.
Yes.
Were you ever able to find out who may have died in the house way before your grandmother even bought the place?
Yes. There was a guy, his name was Frank Roby.
Frank Roby?
Yeah.
What happened to Frank?
Well, he died in the house also. His wife found him in a walk-in closet in the upstairs.
And this would have been?
1930s, I think.
Okay.
And they said that he had a look of frozen fear on his face.
Oh, jeez.
And that was told to my grandma when she bought it.
So that was disclosed to her. She knew somebody had died in the house.
She knew.
I'm not sure I'd buy a house knowing somebody died in it. I don't know. It's just kind of creepy to me.
Yes, it does seem creepy. I think back then, though, I mean, I don't think people really thought about that. Oh, well, someone died, you know. It's, you know. Because I still think people even believed back then, well, they died, they went to heaven or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Now, do you think that the Mr. Roby here was the one doing the haunting or something else?
I think it was something else. I think something actually scared him to...
To death?
Point to where he probably had a heart attack or something, yes.
Okay. So whatever was going on in this house, guy, it sounds like it was pretty darn evil.
Yes.
Okay. And were you able to find out who died in it before Roby was there?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Uh-oh. So we're getting close to what you think might have been the culprit here?
Yeah, there was, well, in the 1830s, there was a lot of saloons and gambling and, let me just say, a red light district.
Yes, a little playing around, I guess.
Yes, and I think that it got so bad. And they said that so many people was dying because they was getting robbed and killed for money because all the gambling and stuff going on, that they outlawed alcohol in 1835 in the small town.
Yes.
Which was 100 years before the Prohibition.
That's true. And you know, outlawing alcohol in those days, which
yeah.
was probably the main recreation, was probably made these people go nuts.
Probably so. But it also made me think, what happened for them to outlaw alcohol?
What scared them?
Yes. Yes. So I think, and so from research, I found out that there is a graveyard not far from my house of what's called the Unknown Graveyard. People traveling through, gambling, you know, end up getting shot or something over candle.
And they just throw them in there in a pine box.
Yes.
Do you think they were haunting the house?
I think maybe one of them was them, yes.
Why so evil? Because it appears to me that they were evil here, especially if it scared the living daylights out of the priest who tried to exorcise the place.
Yes. Well, that, I think, goes back to the other thick part of the mystery of what this house is.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Yeah. All right, we started researching the house. And again, all this stuff was never linear.
You still have this house, by the way?
Yes, I do.
No, we'll find out a little bit later on why, but go ahead.
But, you know, nothing throughout life of living here ever came in a linear fashion. It all came like a piece of a puzzle. And now I have a clearer picture of what everything that probably happened. But one of them is in 1909, we do know from historical record that a W.H. Perkins lived there.
Okay.
And there's a story of a W.H. Perkins, and his family started researching him because he sent home. He worked for the B&O Railroad. He was an axeman, and he was moving through Pennsylvania, Maryland, all them ways, cutting down trees to run the tracks.
Would you call him a drifter?
Yeah, I guess you could call him a drifter, but working for B&O Railroad.
He had a job.
Yeah, he had a job. And his family started researching these postcards he sent home. And they found out that in every town, on the same date that he sent home a postcard, there was a woman murdered.
Uh-oh. He wasn't a serial killer, was he?
He was a serial killer.
Oh, jeez.
Now, here's the wild part. The reason he never got caught is because he used an alias. And for the longest time, I didn't know that alias until we started remodeling the upstairs bathroom.
What happened?
The floor, I found a letter from 1909 to a W.H. Gibbs. And it was from the B&O Railroad Company.
Gibbs was his real name or
the
fake name? The alias name.
And I started researching, and and started in Pennsylvania. And I found out through Pennsylvania and all the way up around through them areas, he's a well-known serial killer.
Did they ever catch him?
No.
Never did. And so he died. Where did he die? In the house?
No, he died on the outskirts of our town, Barnesville.
But how close to the house did he die?
I want to say less than a mile.
So it's conceivable his spirit found its way back to the house, too.
Yes.
And that could be the evil part of all of this.
Yes.
A serial killer is haunting your house.
Yes.
And so when you were growing up as a little boy guy, were these entities bothering you?
Not at first. They started with my sister a little bit. And after I had my, I guess you want to say my reawakening, I guess. I really won't know what to call it.
Epiphany.
Yes. Perfect. Epiphany. Yes. It started messing with me, too. It started by taking my blankets as a kid. I'd wake up freezing.
Let's see, but this sounds like just mischief right now at this point.
Yes, it did start slowly, like just mischief. Yes, exactly.
Like a little fun spirit would play around with people. I'm going to take your blanket. Ha, ha, ha. Let him freeze overnight.
Yeah, exactly. Or it would like tug on the blanket, make it feel like somebody was under the bed, and it would tug on it.
At what point, Guy, did the spirit start getting a little more evil?
About when I was 9.
What happened? If you can say.
I woke up one night because I felt something messing with my feet. And I'm like, what is going on? And, of course, it's dark, and I'm trying to see what's going on. And then the next thing I know, like, I'm looking down, and the bed is in the air. It's like 3 or 4 or 5 inches hovering off the air.
Jeez.
Like vibrating, just shaking. And I'm like, what is going on? And I start screaming. And when I start screaming, it just slams back down.
And did your parents come a running?
Yes, they did. And nothing. Of course, by that time, the bed was already on the ground, and I'm just sitting there shaking.
Oh, my God. How could you even go back to sleep? How could you even stay in that house? Are you living there now?
Yes.
Oh, my God. We're going to get into that.
And that's a good one, too, because I've tried to sell it. I've tried to move out.
Is this evil spirit still in the house today?
Yes.
Why are you still there?
Don't know. I ask myself that every day.
I mean, are you still subjected to hauntings, personally?
I am, but I've learned to block them out.
Huh. Okay, so you're this little boy at the time. These continue, and they're continuing now, so we can only assume they continued while you were growing up. I mean, when you left the house when you grew up, I assume you left the house and then came back later to buy it or something?
Well, I left the house, and I was staying at different places, looking for work or whatever.
How old were you when you left?
22.
So you were haunted up until you left that house?
Yes.
All right, stay with us, Guy. We're going to come back and continue this story. The book is called The Darkness on Church Street, the true story of a haunting in Ohio. Man, if I was you, Guy, I would get the heck out of that house. We're going to continue with this incredible story with Guy McCourt. Next hour, we're going to take phone calls. Now, you can ask Guy questions, but I'd love for you to share your own personal story that may have affected you or happened to you, too. So share with that with us if you could. And welcome back, Guy McCourt, with us. Guy, the book, you self-published The Darkness, I guess, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And is it's sold out, or are you going to have some more?
It was sold out when I sent you that book, but it's available now on Amazon.
Okay, good. It's a great story, by the way. So let's go back to the point where you left the house. You were getting haunted. You left in your 20s. What happened next? Pick that up from there. What got you to go back to the house?
My father had died.
Ah, okay. So they stayed in that house?
Yes, they stayed in the house.
Did they feel the hauntings too?
You know, after my dad retired, he kind of started drinking a lot of whiskey and could not sleep at night. And I think something was bothering him, even though he wouldn't admit to it. And, yeah.
It could have been something dark.
It could have been. I think he was being oppressed by something.
The house itself, kind of paint us a picture, Guy, if you can. What does it look like on the outside and the inside?
It's just kind of an old pioneer-looking, maybe like a four-corner, but with a little bit more steep-angle roof lines here and there.
Typical Midwest house?
Yes.
Okay. And if you were going to build it brand new again, it would be kind of costly, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because it's balloon-framed.
Yeah, those are pretty expensive.
Yes.
Okay, so your father dies, and now was your mother there, or did they had split up, right?
Yeah, they'd split up when I was like 5, 6 years old.
Is she still with you?
No, she passed
she's,
away.
She's gone, too. Okay, so he dies, the house is empty, right?
Yes.
You decide you're going to buy it back and move back, or what?
I kind of inherited it, so I just decided to live there.
Okay, and in you come. Now, did you have any reservations at all about going back?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It was, I was thinking, wow, you know, I haven't thought about all this stuff for a long time. And in a way, I guess, looking back at it now, I was trying to run away from it, I think, you know. And now here I am, my father just passed at this house, and all these memories are flooding back, and these feelings are flooding back of being raised here and stuff. And, yeah, a lot of reservations.
Okay, so you move in. When does it start up again?
Immediately.
Oh, with what you think could be that serial killer spirit.
I think that plus other things, too. Because as I move in, these memories start coming back.
And let me ask you something. Are you married, kids?
I have a lifelong partner. She has been there with me through it all.
All right. Any children?
No children.
No children. Well, you know, in some respect, that's probably a good thing, especially in that house.
Yes. And we're both really busy. She works full time, you know.
Is she at edge in that house at all because of this thing?
Oh, absolutely. We have both experienced something that we never told each other until later, and like we both cried together because of what we experienced was the exact same thing.
Guy, are you there because, you know, the house is paid for, you don't have a house payment? Is it an economic thing with you right now?
I think that's why I stayed in the beginning, you know, and now it's almost... As sad as it sounds, I think it's almost more just the memories and everything there, you know? And it's like, this is my family's home. And the idea of selling it, just don't...
Plus, who would buy it?
Right. Now that
you have to disclose this stuff now.
Yes, and especially after I wrote the book, who would buy it?
So let's... Maybe you can turn it into a tourist place. You make some money that way. You never know.
Hey, that's a good thought.
Yeah. Why don't we do it? We'll set it up together.
All right.
P.T. Barnum and you. Me and you. Huh? And we'll do it. I'm kidding. But so you've got the house. Are you coexisting with these entities? I mean, you're there. I mean, you're not scared to death anymore. You don't sound it.
No, I'm not scared of them no more.
And they're obviously, do they still pull tricks on you?
Every once in a while, like the house will lay dormant for a little while, and certain times of the year it will become active. And when it becomes active, it's just little things.
Do you feel threatened anymore, your life threatened?
A couple times I have, but not really.
Okay, so at this point, you're not scared anymore.
Right.
Okay. You stay there, you coexist, you hear them thumping around and stuff like that still?
Yes, and see the shadows moving across the walls and stuff, yes.
Now, what are you now doing professionally in the paranormal field?
I am researching, and we started a paranormal group called the Valley of Darkness Paranormal Chronicles.
And you're based where, in Ohio?
In Ohio, yeah.
What do you folks do?
We go to houses to try to help families that have paranormal issues.
You cleanse the house?
Yeah, we use ITC devices to try to talk to them first to see why they're still there.
Do you get responses?
Oh, yeah. Great responses. That pretty much confirms the afterlife.
Well, I don't have any doubts about that anymore. I'm sure you don't either, do you?
No.
It's out there.
And we go live on Facebook every Sunday. You know, I host the show, and we let people see what we do right up front. You know.
Well, you've become quite an investigator, I hear.
Yes.
And when you go out to other places now, have you found a place that's equally haunted as your house?
Maybe one place only.
Was it a house or what was it?
No, it was an old business. It was an old restaurant known as the Mediterranean.
What happened there? Tell me.
We was being surrounded by something dark. And I don't like to use the word demonic because I'm not trying to.
Ah, go ahead.
I'll go ahead. I like you, George. I feel like we was being surrounded by something demonic, if you know.
And in this restaurant place.
In this restaurant. And it's been abandoned for 20 years, 20-some years, closed down. And it was, you know, it's been vandalized, the windows knocked out of it. And we was talking to something that was really, really dark. And it was coming through, threatening us and saying things to us.
My God.
And I turned around, and as the flashlight went across the wall, I seen it standing there, and it had these horns coming out of its head.
Oh, boy.
Coming out to the side with a breakdown, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, this ain't good. I was like, this ain't good. And when we later got our photos downloaded onto the computer and was going through them, we caught it on film.
What did it look like? Like a blur?
It's a black, just a very, very dark mass towards the bottom of the picture with the horns sticking up off the top of its head. And it looks like its arms outreach.
Guy, are you sensing that there's more evil today than maybe 20, 30 years ago, that something is happening to get these kinds of evil or demonic spirits to come out?
Yes. Yes. Now, I don't know if it's over the whole world or just this area, but I just feel like there's this blanket of negativity.
And it's with people, too, not just spirits.
Right, and I think these people are being affected by this negative whatever it is.
What do you think the end game is for some of these entities, these spirits? What do they want? Do they want to capture their souls of these people? Or just scare them? What do they want?
You know, I've asked myself that a lot, and I really, really think that it's just like the old stories of from thousands of years ago. It's like almost like a good versus evil thing, I think.
Why haven't you tried to cleanse your house, or have you?
I have tried.
And it just doesn't work?
It don't work.
I mean, as good as you are as a paranormal investigator, you go to other houses, you help other people, but you can't help yourself. How come?
I know. And, well, I have cleansed. I've had other people. I've had sensitives, mediums, even priests come in throughout the years to do different things. And it always helps for a little while.
What about if deep down inside you don't want them to leave?
Well, that could very well be possible.
And maybe they sense that, and hence they stay.
That could very well be.
I mean, they've been with you. How old are you now?
I am in my 40.
You're 40 now. You were 5 years old when this started. So for 35 years, in and out of this house, you've been haunted by these entities, the same entities. They probably think of you as their buddy.
I'm sure some of them do. I've even heard my name called. You know, and I've even heard my name with a giggle. Hey, guy. You know.
Are they all adult entities, or are some of them younger children?
There's children in the house too.
Those freak me out. I think of the movie The Chucky Doll and all those strange things, but kid ghosts to me are sad on one hand because it was a child that died, and then freaks me out because they look even more evil sometimes than an adult, don't they?
Right. Yes, absolutely. And it's also said sometimes too that, negative entities will take on the form of a child to,
Trick you?
yeah.
Yeah. Do you sometimes hear these entities outside running around or playing or anything like that?
Yes.
So they do leave the house, then they come back in again.
And something follows me. There's always something that's followed me.
What have you concluded, Guy, about what the other side might be?
I think the other side might be purgatory in a way. That's the only way maybe that I could describe it in layman's terms. It's some sort of purgatory that people are in.
Catholic Church, I think, has said purgatory doesn't exist anymore. There's just heaven and hell.
I know. Because when I talk to these spirits, they all say the same thing. They all say, "Ah, no more darkness."
By the way, somebody who's really Catholic and understands this, send me an email at george@coasttocoastam.com before I come back after the break and tell me if the Catholic Church has done away with purgatory. This was supposed to be the middle ground for people who weren't good enough to go to heaven, but they weren't bad enough to go to hell, so they kind of just had their souls in limbo, basically. Does that exist anymore? I think the church has dropped that, but send me an email, george@coasttocoastam.com. It's a remarkable story.
Yeah, it's impacted my life a lot.
Are you glad you've gone through this?
No, I wouldn't wish this on my worst
Now, I
enemy.
mean, wouldn't you would have preferred to have been a nice little kid without any ghosts, playing baseball and having fun?
Yes, no health troubles. Yes.
Did your friends make fun of you or anything? Did they know about this when you were growing up?
Yes, I would tell them stories, and I would tell anybody that would listen to tell you the
Did
truth.
they think you were whacked out?
Oh yeah, I'd always get the old the eye roll,
Yeah.
But my friends would stay the night here and there, and they would start seeing it too.
That made them a believer, didn't it?
Yes, I've turned many skeptics into believers.
Do people go by the house now, Guy, point at it and go, "That's that house. Here it is."
Yes, they do.
Oh boy.
They said, and I talk to people in the town and stuff, they're like, "Man, I just don't know what it is, but I drive by that house and I just get the chills."
Have you ever had strangers just show up and want to tour the house?
Yes,
Oh,
I
why would I know that?
have.
Do you let them in?
No. I just mainly like stand out on the porch and talk to them.
Have you had to call the police because of this?
No.
Not yet, not at this point.
Now, everybody in our towns, they're very, very, it's got that southern type of charm to it. Everybody's really nice and polite to everybody.
It's a quaint city, isn't it?
Yes.
And Ohio's a great state. I mean, I used to go there all the time. I was born in Detroit, so I'd make my way through Toledo and things like that every once in a while, hitting Columbus, and it's a neat state. It really is. Good
Yeah.
football team at Ohio U.
Oh yeah.
They always had that rivalry with my Michigan Wolverines.
That's still going on to this day,
Yeah, it really is. Guy, your Facebook, how do people find you on Facebook?
You can go to the Valley of Darkness Paranormal Chronicles, or you can go to my book website page, which is The Darkness on Church Street.
Perfect. Okay, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment, Guy, and take phone calls. Questions for Guy McCord about what you've been hearing, and also if you have your own ghost story, share that with us. Gina's in for Tom today, so she'll get your calls and get you on hold and get you ready to go. In terms of other business, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We've got some major announcements coming out in about a week or so, I think you'll like. And send me an email at george@coasttocoastam.com. And definitely, you Catholics, tell me about purgatory. Does it exist? I don't think it does anymore.